speaking with people with blue, orange, or red on it. You look more seedy, though. Well, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. While you're doing that, let's pray. Dear Lord in heaven, as we come to you today, Lord, just pray, Lord, what you've given me, Lord, is from you, Lord. I don't want to say my own words, but yours. I just thank you for the opportunity I have to being a member of this church and being a part of this family. I don't just think of it as a place I come to, a church. I think of it as my family, Lord. They've been such a blessing to me over the years. I just pray now I can be a blessing to them. Pray in your name. Amen. We'll read verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm not going to talk about the will of God today. I am going to something a little bit different. And those of you who have been in the military understand some of the stuff that we went through when we started out. When you got there, usually came from either the airport or bus station in another bus, and you're sitting on that until they tell you, and a drill instructor would come out and yell at you until you get off that bus. And they had, I know the Marines had foot, didn't they have like feet on the ground? And they would go, break you down, because when they broke you down, it just seemed like, well, mine was only 6 weeks basic training, which was, you know, the cakewalk compared to the yours was 12, 13, 8, Army, Navy, how many? So, but in the right about the middle time when you're in there, the drill instructors changed on me. You know, at first, the Lord took care of me. He got rid of two unsaved, independent Baptists just like me, but I would get yelled at if I did something wrong just as everybody else did. But they changed. They started acting different. They started acting human. And if you understand the military and basic training, you think these guys are monsters and going to do everything. Well, as you see here, the military does everything to break you down and then build you up. You know what they want to build you up as? Because everybody thinks they're great. Oh, nowadays, selfies. Broken down and built back up. And the military does that, builds it back up as a team, that you work as a team, you act as a team. You don't act as one person, you act together. Well, that's I'm going to tell you, you act together, but the world, they don't want you. They want you separate. They want you to think you're something important. They start on our kids when they're so young. They start on when it's Hudson's age or Aaron's age or even younger. They start with pictures and things that, man, you don't want them to see. You can't help it. You, even if you don't have a TV, billboards, things that we considered in our youth as pornography is now displayed everywhere. We have to do something that changes that. Let's turn to Proverbs 22 And this is everybody, every child should know this one. Verse 6. Train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Even our kids tend to go away. They see what the world's offering them. Like I said, I don't consider this place just a church I go to. I consider it a family. I see the kids as part of my family. I want them to be, to grow up. And I've seen a couple of them that I know they thought I was hard on them. But Sam and Claire, but I see a big difference in their lives, and I'm so happy to see them mature into good young people. I'm proud to be around them. I'm proud to see them. I want every one of these kids to be that way. And we have to take it in ourselves, not just the parents, but as a church. You know, who said the, oh, was it Hillary said that, well, you have to, town raise, no, a town.
It takes a village.
A village to raise kids. No. It takes a family to raise kids. And if you care enough about your family, you'll want to see them grow up to be people that you are proud of. I know I was hard on my son, but I don't regret being hard on him because of what he's doing now. You know, I told him he couldn't get a driver's license until he could pay for it. And my wife changed that. But he didn't get one until, how old were you? 20, 21? Yeah. But I'm proud of my son. You know, pride is maybe not good, but having a fatherly pride, be proud of your son is good. So what we have to do is not just sit around, because we've had too many teens leave, haven't we? Now some have come back. Let's not get, I don't want to see them leave. I want to see them, you know, we can make sure they're doing right when their parents aren't around, but we need to also encourage them to do right and be right. And so that when we see them later in life, it won't be because we spotted them on the street doing something wrong, as that we've seen them with their families growing, raising their family right. Thank you, Pastor.
Not unless you want to hear this morning's message. Hold on. That's right. Open up to the book of Proverbs tonight. Say where. I'm just keeping you busy till I do this. Book of Proverbs. I'll be looking at a lot of scriptures tonight, and, not just to jump here and there, but the purpose of it is to get good definitions, allowing God to define things. You know, if you study through the book of Proverbs, there's a few words that show up multiple times: a fool, a wise, or wisdom, and what maybe. Maybe what how the world defines wisdom is a little bit different, certainly, than how God defines wisdom. How the world defines a fool is different than how God would define a fool. So tonight what we're going to do is go through the book of Proverbs and see how God defines these two words. See what God says about a fool. See, why are you doing that? Lest we fall prey to let me just say, God doesn't have too many good things to say about a fool. And there's character traits about a fool that really should be far from us. And then there's character traits of a wise man that should become us and We have to look at those things and look at what God says about it. So we'll be looking at a lot of things, but we'll be brief with those things tonight. So we're going to look at what the difference between a fool and a wise man is. And how does God define these? So let's pray and then we'll get into the passage tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for how good you are to us. Thank you that there's power in prayer. Lord, thank you that you hear us. God, thank you that you take an interest in our life. And thank you that you know us and know our names and know our frailties. And Lord, you know what you want to do with us even. And God, I pray that we would be subject to those things. And God, that we would consider you in all our decisions. Lord, as we open up your word tonight, I pray that God, you'd be honored and glorified. God, I pray you'd help us and reveal to us as individuals areas that we could improve. And Lord, help us with these things. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 9. Definition of a fool in Scripture is a fool is often used for a wicked or depraved person. One who acts contrary. Eventually, I'm going somewhere with this. So it is important that we kind of follow along and see what God says about it. But it's one who acts contrary to sound wisdom and his moral deplorament. One who follows his own inclinations. Who prefers temporary pleasures to the service of God and eternal happiness. Honestly, something you never want to be seen as in the eyes of God or man. You do not want to be considered a fool. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 13 says, starts off pretty strong words. A foolish woman is clamorous. The Bible says she is simple and knoweth nothing. Say, why are you picking on the ladies right now? We're just going to get the ladies done with, and then we'll move over to the guys. The guys have the next 8 points. All right, how's that? But the word, what does the word clamorous mean? Noisy. Loud. The Bible says, a foolish woman is clamorous. Now the world will tell you, hey ladies, stand up. Your voice needs to be heard. And I'm not belittling ladies. I think they're sweet and wonderful. And we saw that in 2 Peter this morning. 1 Peter chapter 3. But the world will tell you louder is better. No. No. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3 that he is pleased with a meek and what kind of spirit? Quiet spirit. He says, I'm pleased with those things. But the Bible defines a fool as one who is clamorous, noisy and loud. Well, that's just my personality. Well, you might be acting foolish then. See, there's things that we do that we'll just chalk up as this is my character and this is who I am. Okay, I would agree with that. And we might have that tendency or that attribute in our life, but it doesn't mean it's right. It doesn't mean that it aligns with the Bible. So maybe there's areas in our lives that we need to examine against the backdrop or the filter of the Word of God that we have to consider and say, is my life violating that? Am I in contrary action to that? Because, God, you know I don't want to be a fool. Am I doing foolish things? You hang around certain people and there's just foolishness, right? I mean, if you go into the kindergarten classroom and just remove all supervision and just run video, you know what's going to happen? Foolishness. They're sticking pencils up their nose. And you look at that and go, oh, that's so funny. Look at this. We should put this on TV. I understand. But it's foolish behavior and God doesn't like it. That's why we work with our young people. That's why we try and instruct our young people. Point number one, clamorous. The second definition, look at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools, look at, despise wisdom and instruction. A fool hates the truth. That means they hate the word of God. I don't hate the word of God. Good. But a fool hates the word of God. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. President Lincoln once got caught up in a situation where he wanted to please a politician. So he issued a command to transfer certain regiments. When the Secretary of War, Edwin Stanton, received the order, he refused to carry it out. He said that the president was a fool. Those are strong words. Lincoln was told that Stanton had said what Stanton had said, and the president replied, "If Stanton said I'm a fool, then I must be. For he is nearly always right. I'll see for myself." As the two men talked, the president quickly realized that his decision was a serious mistake, and without hesitation, he withdrew it. President Lincoln was a wise man because he received instruction in truth. So many times we plant ourselves on this hill and say, I'm not going to move, even if it's wrong. Well, the Bible says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hey, never get to the place where you stop growing in the Lord. Don't despise the Word of God. Don't despise instruction. If someone can teach you something, learn that. I'm telling you, when I meet pastors that have been in it, I ask them, can you please tell me something? What has been something? If you could tell me one thing, you've been a pastor for 30 years, what is it that you would say to me? And they give me some good advice. I try and heed that instruction. I write them down. A fool is clamorous. A fool despises instruction. A fool is lazy. Chapter 10 and verse 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Laziness. But he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. You know, Lord, we looked at it this morning, and God can use people that are afraid. God uses people that are poor. God uses people that have had even a wicked lifestyle previously to coming to Him. And He uses them. But very rarely, I can't think of one, but there's probably somewhere somebody. But very rarely does He use someone that's lazy. That's foolishness. Hey, if you'd rather sit on the couch all afternoon than be productive with your time, that's foolishness. Contrasted to the woman found in Proverbs 31 who goes and considers a field and buyeth it and does all of these things. See, God is pleased with those things. But He despises laziness. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 6. So we'll look at the fool first, because the second half will be positive, because we'll look at the wise man, and we'll be encouraged by that. At least that's the plan. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 6. He that sendeth the message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. Why? Because a fool is unreliable. Unreliable. I know, Brother Nob, you work in construction, and I know in big projects and things, you expect certain things to happen. Man, isn't it frustrating when someone tells you that they're going to do a job and then they don't? Hey, you're unreliable. You didn't do what you said. Hey, take this message, and then the message falls by the wayside. That was an important message. I needed that thing to get done. Hey, you relied on a fool. Fools are unreliable. Why? Because, well, easily distracted. They get consumed with what's going on around them. They're not serious about things. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 18. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 18 says, "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth," look, "a slander is a fool." He that uttereth a slander is a fool. Slander is a false tale or a report maliciously uttered. Opposite of discretion. What is discretion? Discretion is using wisdom on when to and when not to speak. What is slander? Slander is speaking down, creating a false tale, making up stories with the intent of maliciousness, with the intent of hurt and harm. That's what a fool does. That their words are used very, if I could say the word, flippantly. It doesn't mean anything. They lie just to lie. Which brings us to the next one. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 8. "The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is" what? "Deceit," it says. A fool is a liar. And what you'll find with a fool is the commonness of untruth. They're unreliable, not just in actions, but in words. They'll lie. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 16. "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident." Look at verse 17. "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hatred." Know what else? A fool is easily angered. In verse 29, it says, "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly." Again, this is one of those character traits where people just say, "Well, I come from angry people," or "My parents were always angry. There was always yelling." That doesn't mean it's right. It's the act of foolishness. If you're quick to get upset, if you're soon angry, it says. The fool rages. These are words that we ought not to have to describe us. What one of these character traits found in Proverbs, you know, sometimes, oh, again, we got little kids sticking pencils up their nose and we go, "Oh, that's foolishness. Eat and paste. Stop your foolishness." Rolling up the kitchen towel that's a little wet and popping each other. Foolishness. Guilty. And we think of those things, but that's not how the Bible defines it. There's not one good thing that the Bible says about a fool. They're clamorous. They despise instruction. They're lazy. They're unreliable. They're liars. They're angry. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15 says, "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes." Proverbs 14:3 says, "And the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride." Proverbs 28:26, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." He's proud. We read all these things and go, I don't want to be that. But I'm warning you, those things will creep up in your life. All of a sudden you'll become lazy. All of a sudden you'll become proud or angry and you're like, "Well, that's just my nature." No, that's foolishness and it's sin. I bet every parent, maybe even child, could recite that verse. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. But what do we use? The rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And we look at that and go, "Oh, it's just, hey, if that character trait is identified as foolishness, as parents, we have very strict commands to discipline it out of them." What makes you think that as an adult it's a good idea? That it's satisfactory in the eyes of God? It is not. No, foolishness is a sin. "Well, I don't want to be a fool." Great. So let's be wise. Wise is the antithesis or the opposite, the other side of it. How many of these verses did we see where it said, "A wise man does this, but a fool does that"? So what is a wise man? Wise man, wisdom grasps understanding, knowledge, God thinking, God acting. These are the definitions of, that we want to be given. Or look at Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs 2 and verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom. Say, how do I get wisdom? Can I buy wisdom at this? You cannot buy wisdom. But you can get it from God Himself. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. See, in myself, I don't have godly wisdom. So I have to be taught. I have to learn these things. I have to desire these things in my life. I can't just, it's not just good enough to identify that I lack wisdom. I have to personally take responsibility and go after it and get it, seek it out, apply it, learn it, do it. It is on me. If you're a fool, it's by your own doing. And if you behave yourself wisely, it's not by mistake either. So what are the character traits of a wise man? Well, let's look at what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 15. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, the man that getteth understanding. The Bible says they're happy. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Some years ago, we used to do these treasure hunts. We had a GPS. Sam, do you remember going geocaching? And people would hide stuff all over the nation, and they'd give you coordinates, and you have to go and find them. Man, it was so exciting when you found it. I found it! I found it! What'd you find? It was a penny, you know, in this little box or something. We're all excited. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. You'll be better for it. Look in the same chapter in verse 17. The Bible talking of wisdom, here it personifies it with a her. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. Not only is it happy, but her paths are peace. It's a peaceful life. Way of wisdom is peace. Remember that we looked and we saw that the character trait of a fool is lazy. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6, it says this, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Isn't it good to know that if you are a fool, you can undo it, change it? Hey, go to the ant, thou sluggard, thou lazy one. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guile, overseer, or ruler. Know what that just said? Hey, even though there's not somebody watching over them, they work hard. Provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. A wise person will be a good worker without someone having to oversee it. Hey guys, why didn't you put your dirty dishes away? Well, no one told us to. But I shouldn't have to. There are certain things that become wisdom. Self-government is one of those. Being a good worker. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 5, it says, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son. A wise son. No one's not a good time to get wood for the burning season when there's snow on the ground. Do you know why, Anastasia? It's wet. It's wet. Wet wood is hard to burn. It might be green. It might need to dry out. So when do you do that? You do that now. That's a good worker. There's wisdom. That means they have some forethought. So, those are relative terms. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." In Proverbs 15:33 it says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom." Wisdom is closely tied to the fear of the Lord, and we would all agree that we ought to fear God. One that fears God, the Bible says, is wise. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God," but a wise man fears the Lord. You'll watch TV, and there's people that get up and they profess that there is no God. You know what that is? That's a fool. That's foolishness. You ought not to give any attention to one thing they're saying. "Well, I like how they talk," and you're listening to a fool. It's no different than if he was sitting there eating paste. Disregard. I'm sorry. Your words have no merit because you don't even believe there's a God. But a wise man, no, a wise man fears the Lord. A wise man in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 2 says, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." See, remember, a fool is proud, but a wise man works in humility and lowliness. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 11. "The fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards." Wise man is lowly, humble. When they hear things, they don't have to one-up it. "Oh, let me tell you about the time I did that. Oh, let me tell you about my circumstance. Let me tell you my story. Let me tell you all about me." No, a wise man just keeps it. That's humility. The Bible says this, and go to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 9. "A wise man is happy, has peace, is a good worker, fears the Lord, lives humbly and lowly." In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 9, "She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee." That's in reference again to wisdom, verse 7. Here again is personified as a grace. Say, "God, I wish you would show me some grace. Act in wisdom," and he will. Say, "You can't say it. He said that." To the wise, he adorns them with an ornament of grace. That's what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 5. We're almost done. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 5. "A wise man is strong, knowing what I know about wisdom." I'm not sure that's talking about physical strength. I can almost guarantee it isn't. "A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength." I think that's within heart and mind. Personal discipline. Able to control one's thoughts. Hey, when pushed, not physically, but maybe verbally, and you go up and you put a hole through a wall with your fist, you say, "Oh, that's strength." No, that's not strength. When someone's giving you a hard time and you can control yourself, even though it's going against every fiber of your being, and you can conduct yourself in a way that is respectable and not out of anger, That's strength. That's hard to do. But a wise man is strong. Lastly, Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding. Look at verse 2. That thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Spurgeon said, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. That's discretion. Don't have to tell everybody what you know all the time. You can keep it. Discretion is the wisdom of with our words. When to say something and then when not to say something. Sometimes it's harder not to say something. But that's discretion. So tell me about a fool. A fool is clamorous. Despises instruction. I did not just pick out random verses that supported my theory. If you read through the book of Proverbs, you will find much more said on a fool and a wise man. But a fool is clamorous, loud, noisy, despises instruction, is lazy, is unreliable, utters slander, lies, is angry and proud. A wise man is happy, walks in peace, is a good worker, fears the Lord, lives humbly and lowly, has an ornament of grace, is strong and can control their mouth, can control their actions, shows discretion. I said all that to show you Proverbs chapter 13. You know, there's the question. I want to take this thought one step further. Number one, why would I ever want to be called a fool? Right? That is a word I do not want to be associated with. No character trait in a fool do I look at and go, that's at least redeeming. There's nothing. And there's nothing about a wise man that I don't say, I don't want that. There's nothing in a wise man's life you say, that's a negative response. Everything about a wise man is good. Everything about a fool is wrong. In our lives, personally, we ought to strive to be wise. We ought to identify the foolishness and say, those things have to go out. So how do I know all these things? Read Proverbs over and over again. And it'll instruct you and help you. But the second half of it, the second thought I want you to walk away with tonight, in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20 says this, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Why on earth would you want to hang around somebody that God calls a fool? Why would you waste your time on foolishness? Why would you keep a companion of a fool? In your right mind, you would say, I never would. But in our daily living, so many times we lock arms with that which is foolish, with those that are foolish. Bible says this, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Tonight's message is called, you are who you hang around. And you want to be a fool? Hang around with fools. But I'm here to tell you, there is no redeeming value in that. It will be better to be alone than in the company of a fool. Because the end of a fool is what? Destruction. And if you got two or three that are wise, that you can be around, you keep those two and three close, and you encourage one another, and you walk straight, and you do right, and you'll help all each other out. But Lord, help you if you run from the Scriptures to foolishness. You're taking your life in your own hands and you're putting it in danger's way. And only you can control that. There's guys at your workplace. There's ladies at your workplace. There's kids you go to school with. There's that are both wise and fools. Say, I don't want to be a fool. Then don't hang around them. Then don't hang around her. Say, I want to walk with wisdom. Then get some wise friends and walk with them. There's not one thing about a fool that's redeeming. And there's not one thing about a wise man that you wouldn't want in your life. Let's all stand. Two-part message tonight. The first part is personally. Hey, I don't want to act a fool, and I want to act wise. Point number two is I don't want to surround myself with foolishness. But he's my friend. Well, you've picked a bad friend. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. Just by being around it, you're going to get the consequences of it. But there is a blessing, a direct blessing in your life for finding wise people and being around them. Can I encourage you to do that? I don't know what the Lord maybe talked to your heart about tonight. Maybe you want to evaluate who it is that you hang around. Maybe there's one of these points that touched. Maybe a character trait of a fool shows up in your life. And the one responsible for getting rid of it is you. Maybe there's areas of a wise man that you know you don't have, that you need. Say, where do I go for that? You come directly to God. He'll help you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We ask that you bless this time of invitation now. Lord, whatever it is that you dealt with our hearts about, Lord, I pray you'd help us. God, help us not to desire the foolish life. Lord, may there be no taste for it in our mouth. Lord God, I pray that you'd deliver us from such wickedness. And Lord, I pray that we would desire wisdom. God, with all our getting, may we get wisdom. Lord, help us. Lord, bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message tonight?